Okay. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back. I hope you had a pleasant break. If you didn't take the beginning yet, hopefully you got copies of it. You know where it is, right? It's on the table. So as soon as you can. And we'll begin today with Hilchos Tarubos. Hilchos Tarubos, in some of these shirim, in some places, including in our yeshiva, there's some rabbeim who do Hilchos Tarubos before Hilchos Basa B'chalov. I think I may have mentioned at the beginning that I simply am following the order of the Shulchan Aruch. You know, Shulchan Aruch places the Basa B'chalov before Tarubos. You can ask Rabbi Yosef Karo why he opted to do it that way, because there are certain fundamental ideas, which we, of course, touched upon within the Basa B'chalov, which are more clearly or explained in the Hilchos Tarubos more, but okay, I don't think the order ultimately makes that big a difference. And again, we're going to come upon things which we certainly talked about, but certain different details as we go through Hilchos Tarubos. Someone asked me, I think Philip asked me about, you should look in the Prima Gadim Hakdama, you know, I think it's helpful, but again, the Maamar Kamitz I'll present in the usual way. What I'd like to do today, and probably maybe all of tomorrow, part of tomorrow also, is an introduction a little bit to Hilchos Tarubos. Not the kind of lengthy introduction we had to Basa B'chalov, but just, you know, to get an overview of some of the points. Basically, a tarovis is a mixture of iser and heter. That's just in terms of basic definition of terms. And there are different kinds of mixtures. Okay, again, by way of a general introduction, different kinds of mixtures. It was called min b'mino. Okay, min b'mino means when the flavor, the taste of the item that's usser and the item that is mutter are identical. It's the same taste. And you can't tell them apart by taste. You have two pieces of meat. Okay, one meat comes from a kosher animal, one meat comes from, or maybe they both come from a kosher animal. One meat was shechted, one animal was shechted, one animal was killed in some other way. So you can't tell by eating the hamburger, until this tastes like a hamburger, that tastes like a hamburger. There's no difference. They get mixed together. The tom of the isser and the heter is equal. Like b'sar isser, b'sar heter. That's called min b'mino. Right? Then there's something called min b'she'eno mino. Min b'she'eno mino, when you have the isser and the heter, the flavors are different. For example, if you have non-kosher meat mixed with kosher vegetables or something like that, where the items are different, right? The flavors are discernibly different. Okay, that's called min b'she'eno mino. Then there's a further distinction. So there's one distinction between min b'mino on one side, min b'she'eno mino. The other distinction is what is the physical makeup of the item. Okay, there's something called lach b'lach. Again, we've seen these principles in Basa B'chalov too, but again, to go over. Okay, so when it comes to lach b'lach, what that basically means is literally lach means liquid, but it doesn't quite have to be liquid in the sense that we call, you know, wet. You know, it's a scientifically liquid and so on. But it means that the isser and the heter are mixed together. And they become like one new conglomerate, so to speak, right? They're mixed together. So again, in a classic case of liquids, you have, I don't know, getting back to Basa B'chalov, a little bit of milk spills into a pot of chicken soup. So they meld, it becomes one unit. You can't separate the milk from the soup and so on. It becomes one thing, okay? It's like one unit, all right? So therefore, the truth is, lach b'yovesh also is the same thing halachically as lach b'lach. Because if I spill some liquid onto a solid item, it also gets absorbed, and you can't discern, you can't separate the liquid from the... I'm not talking about, let's say, in a bowl, pour milk on cereal, so there you can distinguish in the cereal. But if I have, I don't know, you know, some gravy on rice or something like that, and it's mixed into one thing, so the rice absorbs the flavor of the gravy. That's called lach b'yovesh, but for our purposes, that's lach b'lach. So if you have, but the classic case, again, is literally means lach b'lach, means liquid, so you have wine gets mixed with water. I think we touched upon it once in Basa B'chalov, based on the Gemara Barozo, which we'll see again some other time. So you have wine and water, okay? That's an example of lach b'lach. And then yovesh b'yovesh is when you have a mixture where the iser and the heter remain separate entities, so to speak. Okay? If you have besar nevela that gets mixed up with besar heter, you can't tell them apart by flavor, but the besar nevela, right, the non-kosher hamburger and the kosher hamburger, they're two different items. You may not know which is which. Okay, but they remain two different items. So that's just in terms of basic definitions of min b'mino, min b'she'eno mino, lach b'lach, v'shuyavish, and these are, of course, points that we should, which we'll have to keep in mind. All right, so in terms of assessing our issue in Hilchos Tarubos is assessing, well, what's the status of this mixture? What's the kashrus status of this mixture? And again, those factors, whether it's min mimino, min rosheno mimino, tlach balach, rosh yovish, will make a difference, as we'll see as we go through it. Okay, this, this is the, you know, the ABC sort of. Okay, so the Torah tells us that we have the right, lahalacha, in general, in many areas, to rely on the rov. Okay, the Pasuk says in Parshas Mishpatim, in the first source, most parakov gimel Pasuk Kof, lo siya acharei rabim l'roos, v'lo sanu l'lintos, that's not what we're interested so much in now, but rather, the last three words, the famous acharei rabim l'hatos. Okay, that generally means that you go by rov, we as linan basaruba. We determine when there's a suffix. Okay, I mean, let's understand. Rov is a machria when there's a suffix. If there's no suffix, then you know, don't worry about rov, right? I mean, but here there's a suffix because we don't know which. There was some kosher hamburgers and non-kosher hamburgers that are mixed together, okay? And I don't know which is which. Or some treif chazer fat spilled into a soup or whatever, and I can't discern. So then lechoru, I'll be pashas. We should always just see. Well, what's the rov? Right, that's the Torah tells us acharam lahatos. So we should always take a look. Well, what is the rov? And on that basis, we can say that that's how we'll determine. And indeed, on a Doraisa level, we do find the concept of chad betray botol. It's mentioned in the Gemara a number of places. I printed here a sugya in Gittin. We actually touched upon it. It talks about certain types of fancy nuts, which were orlam. Okay, there's certain types of nuts. Okay. These nuts were from Orla. Orla means that it's a produce for the first 3 years. You're not allowed to eat it, right? When you plant a new fruit tree in Eretz Yisrael, so for the first 3 years of the life of that tree, you cannot eat the produce. That's called Orla. It's also to eat it. The truth is, for a long time in history, it was rare anyway that a tree produced too much fruit in the first 3 years anyway. The tree's not mature enough to produce fruit. Today, it's a bigger problem. I'm saying this as a total side point, but it's a bigger problem in Eretz Yisrael because agriculture here, I mean, all over, but this din applies there as well. Actually, it applies to chutzlarts too, but a suffix girl with chutzlarts is mutter. Okay, so when you go to the store today in America and you have American products, how do you know? Maybe it's all. The answer is, but it's a suffix. So if you know, then if let's say you plant your own tree, maybe the Arla is chayim chutzlarts is an issue of chutzlarts too. But anyway, today they have means of, injecting or whatever, doing something to the tree to speed up its maturation process so it can taka produce fruits. I have some ways of doing that. Someone told me a few years ago, I actually saw that's a bigger problem now because there's something, agricultural advances that they can treat to do something to the tree that makes it grow faster so it produces fruit. It's economically more viable that way. You don't have to wait. Again, I'm figuring out halacha, but I'm talking about agriculturally because the tree produces. So then oil is a bigger problem. Usually when you buy wine or you buy fruit product, it says on the naki mechashash, it's a foreskin translated oil. It says naki mechashash, mita, and tevel, and oil. And translated, it says clean from any problems related to foreskin. But anyway, that's why. In Chutzar, the Gemara says, anyway, so that's what the Gemara is talking about there, these types of nuts that they did grow. It goes in Parak, they're called Nofu Nispatso. So again, I'm not interested so much in the details, Rashi there in the third source. It goes in Parak, you can read the case. But the Gemara says, "Ahacha the midoraisa chad betray batal." That's the key line. Okay, midoraisa and a chanami. Okay, you have a 2-to-1 ratio. That's already called the rov. Okay, it doesn't have to be a 2/3 majority or whatever, 3/4. No, midoraisa chad betray batal. And there, as you look at the second Rashi there, and getting the dollar base, there was an echad. So there, Rashi's talking about the parakhas and sudarbonim because they're choshev. These are very rare types of. So we'll have rules as we go through Hilchos Taruvos of things which are choshev, chatich or leskabe. Again, things we've touched upon, or if it's a barrier, if it's own independent entity, so sometime. But generally speaking, midaraisa, chad betray batel, okay? And that's what emerges from that. So again, from other areas as well. But it's important to understand, just conceptually, okay, that this is not exactly the same type of rove as a regular rove. When we say as linan basaruba, okay, let's just set the table here, so to speak. Here, what we're saying is, when we say chad betray batel, okay, we're saying that it's almost as if the minority item disappears. A classic case of chad betray batel, Okay, we'll see the number of classic cases, but Yuzhin Chabad doesn't mean that the other item disappears. It just means we follow the robe, but it's an unusual robe, as we'll try and go through a little bit today. Okay, the truth is, there's an important sugya of robe in Chulin. I probably should have printed on the page, Rav Yud, Yud Aleph, okay, where the Gemara wonders, what is the mukar for Azinabas Aruba? So there, this type of robe is a little different. Okay, we have over there two different types of robe. Okay, there's something called a Ruba de Issa Kamon. Ruba de Issa Kamon. A rural robe which is in front of us. It's clear. Anyone who looks or takes a head count or whatever can tell the robe. That's called Ruba de Issa Kamon. I'll say, for example, one of the classic cases, you found a piece of meat and there were 10 butcher stores, 9 of which are kosher butchers and 1 of which is a non-kosher butcher, and now there's a piece of meat wrapped up that you find and you don't know which butcher store did it come from. Did it come from the non-kosher butcher store or come from the kosher? Most of the butcher stores on that block, whatever it's found, in that area, are kosher. It's Teisha Chanuyos, that's called. It's a famous case of Teisha Chanuyos. We'll talk about it. 9 stores. So there, you can see, you and I can look. You have 9 stores that all have a proper hashgach in the window. 1 is a trade butcher store, so you can see. That's called Ruba de Issa Kamon. Okay? That's one type of rove where, again, we're not saying that the non-kosher store doesn't exist. But it means we can assume, and in this case, Ruba de Issa Kamon, we can assume that the piece of meat came, again, under certain circumstances, it came from, the odds are, like we'd say in English, odds are, right? What are the odds? The odds, it came from one of those stores. Okay, the odds are, it came from the kosher one, because there are 9 kosher ones, and there's only 1 non-kosher one, right? That's called a Ruba de Issa Kamon. Another example, Ruba de Issa Kamon would be in a Beis Din, like say in a Sanhedrin. Okay, the Sanhedrin Beis Din Chof Gimel, they're trying to execute themselves. They have a vote. Okay, so we'll see, you can count up. It's 15 to 8 or whatever, you can see. That's called the Ruba de Issa. We follow majority rules, right? That's called the Ruba de Issa Kamon. Okay? And that's a regular din of Rov, which we learn from the Pasuk Acher Rav Lachos.